T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Starting up next week, it's going to be that time again where we give you a chance to win $1,000 a day every hour, 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. This year, I'm just reading this the first time.
That's why I put it in bold.
This year, we're giving you a chance to take home Dono's dollars.
Whose dollars?
Dono's.
Alex?
He moved to middays, as you know, and he's got some extra cash hanging around.
They paying like that midday?
I got screwed in my new contract, I'll tell you that. If we're giving away Dono's dollars and I'm out cleaning up a beach for Entercom today?
That's why I didn't make it.
It's a national contest. It's brought to you by Anajar Accident Attorneys. You can call 1-800-747-FREE. Win Dono's dollars starting next week. Right here on WQAM.
So Dono gets more than our 1% raise?
Had no idea. You got a raise?
1%? Inflation's 2-3.
I got a backwards raise. I got touchdown Dolphins against them. All right, let's go to Josh Booty. All right, we'll go out to the Toyota Hollywood Hotline and talk with a person that many people in South Florida probably remember. Right, Josh Booty?
Yeah.
In fact, when we talked about it earlier, people texted in. Josh, he is the host of Believe in LSU Football on the Believe Podcast Network. He was a star quarterback at LSU, if you remember. So he was a sixth-round pick for the Seattle Seahawks. He was a first-round pick for our Florida Marlins. We're the Miami Marlins now, Florida Marlins back then when he was drafted. And, in fact, he won a World Series ring with the Marlins in 97. So here he is, Josh Booty. Hello, Josh.
How's it going, guys? I appreciate you guys having me.
People in Florida have fond memories of you, right? Like they're like people remember you from. Weren't you in the opening day roster in 97?
98, the year after the World Series, when it gets game, it's kind of.
Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to reconnect with you because you're cutting in and out, and I want to make sure that we can hear actually what he's going to say. World Series ring's a World Series ring.
Oh, it is. It is. I've heard.
It's like a Rondé. He's got the Super Bowl ring. Josh Booty's got the World Series ring.
And people that like work for the Patriots have like four or five of them. Seriously, like the lady that makes the sandwiches.
But Booty was on the opening day roster. Oh, like, no. He's like, it's not the lady that makes the sandwiches.
That's what I was saying. Like, to actually be a part of the team is huge because right. I think the sandwich lady gets a ring too.
How are we looking on the connection there, Falero?
I'm talking to him. Hold on. We're trying to fix it.
All right.
But no, like you were saying, he went to baseball and then came back to college and then tried to play in the NFL. Like him and Kyler Murray with both being to excel at both sports is a tough decision.
Right. And have to make a decision. Yes. And Josh, I think once we get it connected here, we'll hopefully be able to get his story because I think he probably has some regrets over the way that he handled things because he could have chosen one or the other, and he kind of tried to do both, and it didn't work out well. Not that a World Series ring doesn't mean that that you've had some success, but.
But that would be the question, too. And like you're saying, if you spent all of your time and effort on one, would you have excelled at one over the other when we were splitting time with both sports?
And I was going to ask him. It seems like Falero's just having a conversation with him at this point.
Falero, you got his number already?
Hey, did you get the digits, buddy? How's it going over there? You guys going out this weekend? I mean, I'm trying
to be a good producer, trying to get a nice connection for you, and it takes some time.
Does he like seafood?
How does it take that much time? I mean, what are you talking him through how to...
he was in a room and now he's got to go somewhere else, so he's got to walk there.
Just
so
seemed
just
like you guys were having a very long conversation while...
You jealous?
It was really... Well, it was kind of meant to be on the air. It wasn't, hey, tune in because we're gonna listen to Falero have a conversation with Josh Booty.
He was telling me his draft story. It's really
good. All right, there he goes. Are you in a better spot, Josh?
Yeah,
Yeah, I am. Right. I was at a golf course, and I guess I'm in the middle of nowhere, but I had good reception all day. I apologize.
No worries. We blame it on Falero. I don't think it has anything to do with you. I'm guessing, now we've just talking about this, but I'm guessing you've got a little insight on a guy like Kyler Murray, right? Because you yourself were a two-sport athlete. So what is your – if you were – have you talked to Kyler Murray? Have you had any conversation with him?
I have. You know, he's a football guy, man. His dad was a football player. I actually saw Kyler Murray's first ever high school game at Allen, Texas, when they opened up the new $60 million stadium against South Lake Carroll in Dallas in the Metroplex 6 or 7 years ago. And this kid ran out on the field 5'7", probably 145 pounds, and just cut them up that night as a 15-year-old in front of 30,000 people. I was like, this kid is a competitor. You know, I mean, no one laid a hand on him. I think he ran for three or four, threw for three or four. And he was tiny, and I'm like, is this kid really going to try to play quarterback at the next level? He was, I think, Gatorade Player of the Year, of course, broke all kind of records in Texas and never lost a game there at Allen. And then, of course, he continued to have all that success, you know, at Oklahoma and just a phenomenal year last year, kind of parlayed it into a potential first pick overall. But he's a fantastic athlete. I don't think 10 years ago we'd be talking about a 5'9 QB going in the first round or first overall pick. I think the emergence of the RPO, the way people are calling plays in the National Football League now are a lot, you know, there's some college dynamics to it, and it allows for guys like him to play and probably be franchise guys really early because they can, you know, you can move the pocket, do some things with him, kind of like Russell Wilson does in Seattle. And this guy will have some success.
And Josh, talking about the football and the baseball, how like just to be that gifted, to have an opportunity like Kyler to get drafted by the Oakland A's and now potentially be the first round pick of the NFL draft, like is that a gift and a curse? Because now you have to decide between them.
Well, yeah, you know it's a unique situation because he's played, you know, he played college baseball and he's had so much success in the college football game that. You know, his situation is first pick overall to Arizona. If that were to happen financially, that's a huge hit for him on the football side. And not a lot of players, when they talk about making the choice, it seems to always be high school. You know, do you go to college and play football or do you go into pro baseball? And you make that decision as an 18-year-old. So he's making it later on in life. And now that first pick in the NFL draft is staring him right down right in the face. And it's like, man, financially, that's a huge hit for him. He's going to make a lot of money and be the franchise guy. And you got to remember, when you're going into the NFL, out of college, you go straight to the league. In baseball, you've got to do the minor league. You got to pay your dues. Sometimes it's hard to get to that first contract. And you know, you're in the minor leagues and on the buses. And that's not particularly the most glamorous thing to do in the world. So I just don't see him playing baseball unless he really struggles at, you know, in the NFL as a quarterback.
Josh Booty is with us. Again, if you remember, sixth-round pick for the Seahawks in the NFL, first-round pick for our Florida Marlins, in fact, has the World Series ring, as we talked about. Do you have regrets about the way you handled your career?
Well, you know, I kind of wish I would have stuck with baseball because I gave it so much time. I gave it 4 or 5 years, And my heart was always in football. I have a football family. My dad's an athletic director and a coach of and I have two brothers that played, you know, in major college football and in the NFL as well. And so I grew up all football. I was the only one in my family that played baseball, but I just absolutely loved it. I got lucky because I got drafted by a team that was a new franchise. Of course, you guys is Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins back then. Huizenga, the owner, really gave me the chance to really make it to the big leagues quick. There was no one really ahead of me in the organization because it was brand new, and I knew I could not pass that up. So I was excited to get drafted that quick. My goal, to be honest with you, was to play baseball and football like Deion Sanders and Bo, you know, at the same time. I always wanted to do that. Just at the quarterback position, it's impossible. You know, and Kyler's got to make that decision too. There's no way that you can do both at the same time being a quarterback because of the responsibilities of around that position, you know, playing football.
That was the wild card for you, right? Because the quarterback position is so demanding. But I'm guessing when you're that age and you've been a star, I'm guessing, in both sports all your life, it doesn't matter what people tell you. Hey, this is going to be too taxing. You're like, no, I've done this all my life. Like, when you're young, you believe you can do anything.
You're right. And like you said, that's a hindrance because you're always thinking, well, man, if I was in, you know, if I would have gone football right out of high school and gone and played college football, maybe I'd be first pick overall, kind of a Peyton Manning guy. And then you think, oh, on the baseball side, you know, if I'd have gone all baseball, I'd have been like Alex Rodriguez. I'd have been the first pick, got to the big leagues, and had a Hall of Fame career. It's like, you know, when you're doing both, you're like, you think you're Alex and you're Peyton Manning. And it's so difficult. That's what my situation was. It's so difficult you're only as good as what you wake up in the morning and do all day. Like, if you don't do it all day, every day, sleep, eat, and breathe it, how can you be super successful? So a guy like Kyler, and this is what I told him, I said, you got to do something. You want to wake up in the morning, whether you're making $20 million, $40 million, $2 million, or $100 million, that you want to wake up in the morning and go to the facility every day and play. And, you know, what sport is that? You know, is it football or baseball? And he kind of smiled when I started talking football with him. He loves the game. He loves the game of football.
You could tell. It just kind of oozed out of him.
No doubt.
So if you were a football team, you wouldn't have doubts that he was going to end up going to baseball at some point?
I wouldn't. I think he's going to legitimately give it a real shot. I'm talking 3 or 4 years of it. I mean, there's no way that he would only give it a season and go, oh, no, unless it was an absolute train wreck for him. And I don't see it being a train wreck for him. I think he's athletic enough to make plays all over the field. And if he can stay healthy, that's the only concern of mine, outside looking in, is can he play 4 preseason games? Can he play 16 regular season games and then make a playoff run? And can he do it over and over, year in, year out, for 10, 12 years? I mean, we've seen guys like RG3, one injury took him from being an all-pro, or a pro bowler type of player and rookie of the year to a guy that's a second or third string trying to stay in the league, because you go from 4-4 to 4-6 real quick with one injury. And so he's going to have to stay healthy, because his wheels and his legs are a huge piece of, his successful puzzle. There's no doubt about that.
And you've been a part of, you went back, high school football, and then you went to the major leagues and came back to college football, then back to baseball. So you've been back and forth between them. One thing that I do question about Kyler Murray, Josh, is that he goes to the NFL, just kind of like what you laid out. He goes there, bro. He gets knocked out a couple times. The Von Miller comes off the edge and hits him in the back of his head 2 or 3 times. And then even if he plays out his rookie deal, 3 or 4 years down the road, he says, I got $25 million. I don't want to do this anymore. Could he go back to baseball then?
I think he could. I mean, we're seeing something just absolutely unusual with, like, a guy like Tebow, who was out so long. But, you can sit out being that athletic, I think, for a couple seasons. You wouldn't want to sit out much more than that. I think 2 seasons, maybe 3, he could probably get back into it. But he's fresh off of playing some college baseball right now, and he hadn't been out too long. So, it's hard enough to make it in the big leagues or even in the minor leagues, have success at the minor league level, playing every day of your life and going to winter ball and putting all the hours in and, hitting in the cages and hitting coaches and guys that really know how to play baseball. And so, he's just been a phenomenal athlete his whole life. He's been able to probably steal bases. He throws well from the outfield. He hits for average. He's hit some home runs. He's a better athlete than most people, at the college level, even in baseball. So, I mean, I think he's going to have success whatever he chooses to do. But it does kind of scare me that he's undersized. There's no doubt about it, because those linemen are very, very big and strong and fast. And, buddy, you got to be able to see. I remember the first practice I ever had at LSU, and I'm 6'3". I was like, man, this is, I'm not used to this, having to drop back under center and throw over 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", offensive linemen, man. Those guys are huge. But, once you've played at the college level like him at Oklahoma, he's been around big guys, and that, he was able to have so much success. Just the NFL's a little bit faster, and you know, we'll see what happens. But he's definitely got NFL caliber talent. There's no doubt.
Josh Booty is with us, host of the Believe in LSU Football podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, and again, a former first-round draft pick for the Florida Marlins and a draft pick for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'll let you get back to the golf course, and we're running out of time anyway, but I got to ask you, because it's our draft week, and we get draft stories. My radio partner here, Channing Crowder, he went in the third round to the Miami Dolphins, but draft day for him was a disappointment because Mel Kiper had told him no later than pick number 20.
Damn Mel Kiper.
And he ended up falling to the third round. And so while it was still, to me, an unbelievable day because it's the culmination of your lifelong dream, it was a disappointment for him because he went later. For you, you got the call from baseball. You got the call from football. Which one was more exciting? I'm imagining baseball because it was first round.
Baseball. Yeah, baseball by far. You know, I waited about 10 minutes, you know.
And who called you? Was it Jim Leland?
Well, no, Jim Leland wasn't around at the time. Gary Hughes was the scouting director, and Dombrowski was the GM, and they're the ones that gave me a call and said, hey, you know, we're going to draft you first overall. My agent was a guy named Jeff Morad, one of the super agents. You know, him and Steinberg were together on the West Coast for years, and I had an agency that represented both football and baseball guys with Steinberg and Morad, but Morad called me and you know, had Dombrowski and Gary on the line and said, you know, we picked you fifth overall or whatever. And I was ecstatic because I knew the Marlins were a new franchise, and who doesn't want to live in South Florida? I mean, I'm coming from Louisiana. South Florida is you know, the real deal. So I loved it. And, I was so happy on the football side of things, man. I've never been so mad in my whole life. I thought I was going to go earlier as well. Jerry Jones called me the night before the draft. He said, we're going to draft you in the second or third round, probably the third round, and you're our guy. And then, lo and behold, in the second round, he chose Quincy Carter from Georgia, who I'd played against a couple years. And I love Quincy to death, but, you know, I thought that he was going to draft me. So it was a very difficult situation. Shreveport, where I grew up, is about a 2.5-hour drive from Cowboy Stadium, and I thought, man, that would be perfect. All, you know, my whole family could come see me a lot and all that. So I was very disappointed. Then I started to slide, and Holmgren drafted me in the sixth round, which was way, way later than I ever thought I would go. But I did get drafted, and I was happy, you know, once I got to Seattle. But, man, I was disappointed that it wasn't earlier.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I have the same conversation here with Crowder, because he's watching all these linebackers get chosen ahead of him, and he's like, I know I'm better than these guys.
Josh knew all the I know all the names too, Josh. Lofa Tatupu.
You remember him.
Oh, yeah,
you
Odell Thurman. I remember every linebacker that went before me.
But it's still, you're still getting that phone call. You're still having an NFL team say, we want you on our roster. It's a weird dynamic.
It is. It's a dream come true, but at the same time, we've been fighting our whole lives and have been competitive our whole lives, and we know, but we think, you know, we're the best guy for the job, you know, and you got to think like that, or you won't be a guy for any job. So, you know, that was a hard pill to swallow, but you know, now I've got the stories. I've been drafted early. I've been drafted late. I've done a lot of agent work now, and I've worked with kids. I'm like, you know, there's something to that, to the story. You know, I got a little story for everything. So it worked out.
Josh Booty, fascinating. We appreciate you making time to join us. It really was I love the human stories during draft week, because people just, you know, you're looked at your whole life as commodities. Yeah. And then when you hear the actual story, yeah, I was like, yeah, I got the phone call, but I was kind of pissed already because I thought I was going to Dallas four rounds earlier. It's really interesting.
Exactly.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, guys.
How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
Oh, it's good, man. It's kind of windy. I'm in Dallas today and tomorrow, so it's kind of windy, but I enjoy the game, man. I wish I'd have played golf instead of either baseball or football.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Country club to country club. those professional athletes have the life, man.
It's hard to make it.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Josh.
All right, y'all have a good day, guys.
You too. There's Josh Booty there. Again, former first-round pick for the Florida Marlins. That was funny, huh?
Yes.
How's the course playing, as a matter of fact?
What's going on? Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
All right. Leave me alone.
It's funny. It's competitiveness why so many ex-athletes play golf.
It's fascinating. Oh, well, yeah, and then everybody, because you can play golf, you know, till you're older or whatnot, but you get that competition, Jones, yes. And And you, I'm sure you look forward to getting out there. But it's also funny, you know, everybody that you talk to that was drafted, it was like you said earlier, if you're drafted 10th, you think you should have been drafted first. If you're drafted 20th, you think you should have been gone, you know, 10th. There's only one guy every draft that's happy with his draft spot.
And you're not overstating that.
It's crazy, right?
Every player right now that's getting drafted this year, they think they should go number one in the first round.
Yep, agreed.
I'm that good.
Our draft week coverage continues in the next segment. I'll tell you what some celebrities had in jail for their Easter dinner.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Love this video. Do you remember this video or no?
No.
You remember this video?
No. I didn't know Madonna sang this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Who'd you think it was?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. I meant Harry Potter. All right, you want to know the... I just find this stuff fascinating. Easter dinner prison meals. What's a traditional Easter dinner?
Isn't it? I was going to say, isn't it Christmas dinner?
Like ham?
Just the normal stuff. Mac and cheese, potatoes and all, ham. Just, you know.
What'd you have for Easter dinner? Anything special?
I mean, we did stuff on the grill. So we had burgers, hot dogs, and like.
I would say Easter isn't the set meal. Like Christmas is that set, comfort food.
I used to go every year to a friend's Easter picnic, which was more casual. Yeah. And so it was a lot of grilling stuff. But some people get dressed in like their Easter best, right? And have more of a formal meal.
I've seen that, but we don't. Generations back, yeah. Easter's a lot more laid back than the Christmas dinners.
Okay. I don't even know. I would turn this into a game show, but I don't even know how to do it. Like, do I tell you the celebrity and you guess the meal? Or do I tell you the meal, you guess the celebrity?
Do they change the meals in prison on Easter?
I think they do on certain holidays.
Why?
It's a special day.
And why do they need to celebrate a special day with meals that are going to be more expensive out of my pocket?
I don't know. I don't know. You've boxed me into a corner.
I don't want to go too far with this one, but
I have no answer for you.
I'm with peanut butter sandwiches and milk three times a day for a prisoner.
Okay,
I really am.
That's not the Easter meals.
Okay.
I will start with Soulja Boy.
You pronounced it right. It sounds funny, though.
Who's currently incarcerated at the Los Angeles County Jail.
Just say Soulja. There's a little snag.
Soulja Boy.
Soulja.
He was served spaghetti.
Mm.
Salad.
Salad. Yeah, salad.
Salad.
Something that perishes that fast in a prison?
Bread and juice.
Hope it's a juice box.
Not a bad Easter meal. Spaghetti.
For who?
Soulja Boy. Tell him.
You sold my boy?
And it says here, Soulja's got terrible timing. He's in custody till April 30th. So he just, you know, unluckily was in jail for Easter. But luckily got the spaghetti.
I don't like this meal change.
Jared Fogle. You know who he is?
Oh, the Subway guy.
Subway guy.
Pedophile, man.
Pedophile.
Yeah. I hope he got Big Butch for Easter. Or a guy named Ron or something. Big Ron.
He is incarcerated. He's doing at least 15 years. He's incarcerated at the Federal Correctional Institute in Inglewood. He got beef or soy tacos. Mexican or steamed rice, black beans, yeah, they get the choice.
A choice?
Black beans, corn, shredded cheese, and salsa. A Mexican-themed Easter for Jared Fogle, a disgusting human.
Do you believe Jared Fogle should be better than I ate yesterday? I'm serious, man. What is going on here?
I didn't have anything to do with this.
Hey, pedophile, would you like yellow or brown rice? Pedophile, you want beef or chicken, pedophile? Come on, man. I can't be the only one that feels this way.
Bill Cosby, As you may know, he is serving 3 to 10 years for sexual assault. He's at the Correctional Institute in Phoenix. I thought he was in Pennsylvania. Oh, Pennsylvania's Correctional Institute Phoenix. So I guess that's the name. He's in Pennsylvania.
Like that Phoenix University.
He got baked chicken, which you're a fan of.
I loved it.
Used to be your segment with Coop.
A segment, baked chicken.
He got baked chicken, bread dressing, carrots, gravy, bread and margarine.
That's two breads?
And pudding. No, he didn't get pudding. That'd be funny, though. And a fresh apple.
A fresh apple.
A fresh apple.
Not the one with the wrinkles on the skin.
not a rotten apple. He got a fresh apple. I mean, he didn't get to choose butter, though. It's bread and margarine. So
now they're being tough on him.
And finally, Suge Knight. He is in San Diego at the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility. Suge Knight flew to Prime 112. Because no one messes with Suge Knight.
By the way, great reference by Cleland at the Suge Knight at the Source Forge in 95.
Suge Knight.
Solana with the Suge Knight reference, thinking it was a location.
By the way, great reference by Cleland at the Suge Knight at the Source Forge in
95. At the Suge Knight. Suge Knight in San Diego. He got a hamburger, baked potato wedges, which I hate. So good for him for being punished.
Punished?
I don't like wedges. Give me the good fries.
You don't like wedges?
No.
Thick and the steam comes out when you bite them the first time. Hey, the prisoner doesn't deserve that.
He got steamed corn, coleslaw, and ice cream.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Ice cream.
You scream, we scream, Suge Knight screams for ice cream.
Just the thought of dessert after a meal is what? The enjoyment of the end of your meal.
Right, it's a...
Why does a prisoner need to finish off his meal with ice cream?
Suge is serving a 28-year sentence. He's been behind bars since 2015.
Listen, and people are texting, oh, Crowder, yeah, you get to, you know, whatever, your religion, you get to, you know, whatever your religion says. I'm not saying if it's a Muslim, shove pork chops in their mouth. I'm just saying that.
Which, by the way, an unbelievably awful visual.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I don't think the meal should change. I think a good old-fashioned peanut butter sandwich, milk, and maybe a little orange. About 3 meals a day. No cheese sandwiches. Nothing. Don't get outside the box. Peanut butter, bread, milk.
Who had the best Easter meal there? Soulja Boy, Bill Cosby, Suge Knight, or Jared Fogle?
I would say Fogle with the options.
I got to go Jared, man.
The Mexican themed Easter with the tacos.
And then what do? They leave that little thing they put in hotels in your cell, and you get to check what you want and leave it on your doorknob for the next morning. This is getting to me, man.
I think the waiter comes over and takes your order.
Excuse me, sir.
Steamed rice or Mexican rice?
So does chicken come with white wine, and the beef comes with red wine because it matches better? Come on, man.
So who got the worst? I think probably Soulja Boy. Spaghetti at the county jail can't be very good.
I was thinking probably no meat.
I think about Bill. Bill got a bad one, too.
Baked chicken?
Yeah.
Bread? What's bread dressing? What is that, like bread pudding? I think that is kind of pudding, right?
Yeah.
They're trolling him. They're trolling Bill Cosby.
It's like the bread crumb. It's the nasty dressing. You know, there's the real dry dressings that some people make. That's the bread dressing.
And I think the baked chicken's dry, too. It can't that good at a jail.
But spaghetti, that has to be. Come on. There's no way that those noodles are al dente.
No.
And like you said, there's no meat in the sauce. That's like...
I would say maybe not even tomato sauce.
Ketchup.
It might be ketchup.
It's ketchup and water.
So them overcooked spaghetti noodles with ketchup in it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say Soulja Boy had the worst Easter meal.
I would swing in and say he had the best. Because of the fact that they're not supposed to eat good, because they're in prison for a reason.
Well, he's going to be out in a few days, so he'll be able to hit Prime Italian or
wherever
he wants
to go. If I was in there and they tried to bring me a steak, I'd be like, I don't deserve a steak, sir. I need a peanut butter
But you weren't
sandwich.
There on a holiday, were you?
No, I think I was there on like Memorial Day or something.
They didn't have a barbecue or a cookout?
No. And if they did, Big Butch would have stole my sandwich anyway. And so that's what it is.
Our draft week coverage continues.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We were just saying halfwits is always a funny insult. Someone texted in, okay, WTF are you halfwits doing now? Looking up prison menus? Keep up the good work. Absolute gold. I agree wholeheartedly.
It was enlightening to me.
It's interesting, right? Then somebody texts me, they go, gotta find the text because I responded to it. He was just saying, you don't like potato wedges, even from KFC, Hawk? And I said, I don't like wedges. And he texted back, SMH, you need to smoke some weed, Hawk. Expand your palate, man. Is that really expanding your palate, potato wedges? Like, I understand, like, escargot, expand your palate. Potato wedges? Would that really be? I've had them, and I'll eat them, if that's the only potato offered with whatever I'm eating. But I don't know if I consider a potato wedge the expansion of a palate.
Maybe for a two-year-old.
Right. A two-year-old, if you want to expand your palate, try a potato wedge.
But the ones from KFC are really good. Like,
people,
that's the only place
people
I get my
rave. I think Publix has potato wedges, too, in the hot counter at the deli. But yep. I'm not a big fan of potato wedges. And now, if I'm in jail and that's what they're serving, that's what I'm going to take.
Bro, you wouldn't get any anyway.
I'd have to give up my potato wedges?
If you were in jail, you have to give up something or your potato wedges. You choose.
Maybe both.
Hey, you said potato wedges or, not and. Get from back there.
By the way, this Chelsea-Burnley game is 2-2, and it's in stoppage time. And I will tell you, before the show started, actually, no, it was during the show because the game started at 3, about 2:15, Falero said, let's bet Chelsea-Burnley draw. And it was plus 550, which means you'd bet $100 to win $550. And so I went to our site, because he found it on a website. I went to our site. Draw was off the board. The odds were too high, so they weren't taking bets on a draw. So we couldn't even bet the draw. And Falero, you would have been a hero. Can you imagine if this game ends? It's in.
No, I want somebody to score.
How many minutes of stoppage? Oh, five minutes.
3 minutes left.
They're in stoppage time. It's 2-2. You almost had one of the greatest picks in gambling history. Now, that being said, we took Burnley plus 1.5 and 2 goals. It's 2-2, so if this holds on, we'll have a little soccer victory, but nothing like
nothing,
plus 550.
Man.
I mean, that never happens.
Who do we have to talk to?
Somebody also texted in, you tell Suge Knight he's not getting his ice cream.
From on the other side of the bars? Yes. No ice cream.
You scared of him?
Suge Knight?
Yeah.
I won't get in a sale with him for fun. It's the difference between being scared and being smart.
Are those the two ends of the spectrum on that? Scared or get into a cell with them for fun?
It's just because people say that. Hey, you're a tough guy. Yeah, I think myself pretty tough. Would you fight Mike Tyson? No. It's just dumb.
Hey, Crowder's been in jail before, and he's a tough guy and a big dude, and he was young, and a dude named Butch took his orange.
Yes, and no, he had a piece of citrus. And he stole it out of my lunch
bag.
Right,
it wasn't like he took his flour.
When you say it's smooth like that, it just sounds like it might be an analogy or something.
He stole his orange, wink.
He took everybody's orange in the cell.
Nobody did. Literally, the guy took, everybody was given, I guess legally you have to get a piece of citrus or something, or there was a scurvy outbreak or something. I don't know, whatever it was.
Scurvy.
But he took the piece of fruit.
That's why I know about the peanut butter sandwich and milk. As in Latchwood County, the only place I've been in jail was Latchwood County. Peanut butter sandwich, and this is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Peanut butter sandwich, little carton of milk, and an orange. That's what you got. That was your meal. That was a meal 3 times a day.
And you were a big dude, and you were a football guy.
And I actually walked in, and there was some little dope boys in there and little smaller profile individuals, and I flexed a little bit. Yeah, I put my big man on. Hey, man, y'all need to be quiet. It's late at night. Stop with all that cussing and all that yelling. And they shuffled to their little corner of the cell. But then that next morning, Butch woke up. See, he was asleep early. Butch was asleep early, and then he woke up that next morning. It came around the corner. I said, what is that? And he went to snatching people's food. I said, uh-oh, we have trouble. So I got my own big man. Big man, you want this? You had it. There you go, brother. No problem, bro.
How big was he?
I just remember that because I
just
wore,
said to you, he woke up, got out of his bed or cot or whatever, and Crowder thought to himself, what is that?
I wanted to make sure he had two ears and two arms and legs like me. I thought he might have something else just attached to him.
That was a reaction, if you remember, Jeff Goldblum had in Jurassic Park. What is that? It gives you a little idea of.
I want to know specifically.
They asked me what size shoe do you wear, because everybody wears the same little flip flops. And I said 13, please, because I want a little space. They said, I wear a 12, but I want 13. They said the biggest size we have is a 12. So I know the biggest flip flop size was a 12. When he walked around the corner, his all five toes were sitting on cement. His midfoot was on a 12, and his entire heel was on the cement on the other side. He had to have worn 16, 17. He was a gigantic man. If I had to guess now, 6'6", 340, with abs. Like, he was a monster. Big old. All he did.
Probably
like,
should special order the shoes there, right? Listen, in with the warden.
If he asked for a 14, I would have done everything in my power to find
one.
Well,
thank you. I happen to be a cobbler, sir.
Yes. I would have cut the heel of my shoe off and melted it on the back of his shoe so that, bro, does your heel hurt on that cement? Hold on, let me fix those for you. Yeah.
5 o'clock hour.
We actually became friends.
Funky Buddha happy hour comes up next. We continue our draft coverage.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.